In the past, you've worked with first-year quarterbacks. You're doing that this year. What would you say is the toughest thing to get a guy ready to play the way you have in the past and currently?
Well, just from your own standpoint as a coach, you got to figure out, you know, what they do best and try to figure out how to make it as easy as possible for them and give them a chance to be successful. You also got to do that in the confines of what the other 10 guys can do. So that takes some time to figure out. Sometimes you try to do it in practice, and then you realize it's a little different in the game. So you have some trial and error as you go through the process with them. But I think the toughest thing with a rookie quarterback is just preparing for all the stuff that they got to deal with off the field. You know, just the constant, the pressure of being the man, having to come in every Monday, answer to everything, getting the game plan on Wednesday, having to go out there and run it right away, and really just going from every single person in the building looking at you. And it's a long season, so I think it wears on anybody, but especially it's tough for a rookie. And when they're a quarterback, it's hard to prepare them for that moment, because it's once you don't know what it's about till you go through it. And that's why it takes special types of people, not just talented people, to be able to handle it.
That being said, what's impressed you the most about Carson Wentz and how he's found success so early in his career?
I don't know the guy personally. I've never talked to him. But, you know, one, just studying him and watching him, he's extremely talented. He's extremely tough, you know, as a thrower, as a runner. His size, just the ability to take the physicality of the game, but also the way he handles himself. I watch from afar, and it seems like he's the same person every day. He doesn't try to be anyone else. He's his natural self. He doesn't try to be a leader. He just naturally is, because he goes about everything every single day the same way. He doesn't seem like he plays to anything. He's always himself, and people can tell he's working very hard at it. And when you're talented and you put all those things together, a lot of people are going to follow you.
Kyle, you guys had a lot higher regard for CJ than some other people. What was it about him that made you believe that this guy could be a starting caliber quarterback in this league?
I thought he had the ability to make all the throws. You know, you first of all want to see that, and he did have that ability. And then just watch him throughout his college career. Just, I always try to look at where guys go with the football, the timing of when they go with the football, how they keep their eyes downfield and don't watch the rush. CJ didn't always have the best teams while he was at Iowa, but I thought he was a big part of why they won. And he would hang in there even when they didn't block for him very well, even when guys weren't open, and he'd keep his eyes down the field, was extremely tough, comparable to Carson in that type of way. Doesn't have the same mobility that Carson does, but he definitely can make some plays with his legs here and there. But to me, it just comes with watching how tough a guy is on tape, and that he can handle getting hit, doesn't change throughout a game. Because when you get to the NFL, you're going to get hit a ton. And even tough guys, they start to watch the rush. But this guy never wavered. And I believe he's got the ability to make all the throws. And when you have that type of toughness and you have the talent, and football is everything to you, I just feel it's a matter of time before you get you improve each week.
A report came out, Kyle, during the offseason that you were close to trading for Michael Kendricks. Was he someone on your radar?
I've heard about Michael Kendricks the last couple of years, and you know, he's a guy that I have a lot of regard for, because being in the East when I was at Washington, having to play against him, earlier on, he was one of the better players and a tough guy to always go against. So anytime that they've been entertaining anything, I've always listened, and we heard that here, but nothing ever fell through.
Kyle, are you convinced right now that that CJ is your quarterback long term? I mean, it's not something you're looking at going forward.
I'm not sold on anything long term. You know, I think that's the importance of this year for us. I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to come here, is, you know, I knew we had some hard work, and things haven't gone exactly how I've hoped so far. But I still feel very good about the future of this organization and where we're at. I think we got a lot of opportunities here coming up next year with salary cap and draft picks. And I have an opportunity right now to really find out what we have on our team. And I wish it was easier for us to find out. You know, no one enjoys being 0-7. But it also gives me a chance to not let people BS me. I mean, you really get to see people's true colors when you go through some stuff like we are right now. And that's really what I'm trying to decide on everyone, coaches, players, how they act throughout this year, how they respond to adversity. And we have big plans with this organization going forward. And this it's really a situation where I'm trying to find out how badly people want to be a part of that.
Kyle, we got to know D'Amico Ryans pretty well here in Philadelphia. What made you think that he was coaching material, and what, you know, how has he done, and you know, what's the ceiling for someone like him?
D'Amico can be, his ceiling is whatever he wants it to be. I mean, I knew D'Amico in Houston. I was a coach in Houston when his first few years there. D'Amico was as impressive as a player as I've ever been around. You know, I was the offensive coordinator there, so it's not like I got to sit in on meetings with him or anything, but I always got to watch him play. He's one of the best people that I've been around in my life. And I didn't know he wanted to go in coaching, and when I got this job, he told me he wanted to, and that's all I needed to hear. He was so impressed with the time I had been around him as a guy, and then just playing against him over the years, especially when he was in Philly, knowing how good of a player he was. That, I mean, that was as easy of a decision as I had to make, was get him here.
Kyle, as you guys have lost like 5 or 7 games by 3 points or less. You know, as a first year head coach, how do you keep it together? Not only like just for yourself, but like the guys on the team. How do you keep them up for every game?
I mean, it is a challenge. You know, guys put a lot into this, and we've lost some heartbreakers. And you know, I think it did take a lot out of us after that Washington game. But you know, I keep reminding the guys that, you know, you put a lot into it. You should be disappointed. You should be upset. But no one really cares. It's about the results, and we got to find a way to get a win in. And you know, I know it's tough, and we're all disappointed. But I think you can also use it as a positive too, because I just think this is, you know, we do have plans on where we're going, and I wish it could be a different way, but, you know, I think this is a necessity to get where we want to be. It's going to tell us a lot about these guys. It's going to help us figure out who's going to be a part of turning this around for us, and I just try to get the guys to not really focus on the result, but to focus on the process and exactly what we want our standard to be, and try not to get guys to play I don't want them to get too high. I don't want them to get too low. I want to know what our standard is and what we're going to be every single day, no matter who we're playing against, no matter what our record is, that we play to the best of our abilities always. And that's something I'm trying to develop here, and it's a work in progress right now. And I think the guys have done a pretty good job despite their record of trying to compete every week. I thought we played hard last week, but I definitely thought we took a step back and just the outcome of the game. And I'm really looking forward to our guys responding this week.
Going back to when you were in Houston with D'Amico, was there something that back then led you to believe that he'd one day become a coach if he wanted to be?
Well, I just know he came in as a rookie and started at Mike Linebacker, was rookie of the year, came in as a rookie out of Alabama, was already the first one there in the mornings, was the one running the meetings with the coaches, just a guy who so naturally just took over. And he was a guy who was so himself. He never went out of his way to try to be anything he wasn't. He just truly loved football, had a natural way of talking to people, and just was such a leader by example that, I mean, to me, D'Amico, it was pretty easy. You know, whether you watch him in football, and you can see he'd be successful in anything in life that he chooses to do. And I was just pumped that he told me he wanted to be a coach.
Kyle, you've worked with a lot of young quarterbacks. Their ability to adjust to the speed of the game at this level varies, and obviously is a key to their success. How has that been with CJ?
That's what I liked about him the most in college. You know, you can't really. That's why I always try to see. You know, when I study a quarterback, I always look down the field. I don't really watch him until I get to the end zone copy. Then I'll evaluate how he throws and the mechanics of that stuff. But the key to playing in the NFL, most of the guys in the NFL are capable of throwing. It's how do you process things? How fast can you react and let it rip? How can you feel these holes when guys like Fletcher Cox are coming at you to hit you, and you can keep your eyes downfield and let it rip without throwing interceptions? And it's a hard thing to test because it doesn't just equate to IQ. You know, some guys will have a high test score and be smart, and they overthink it. And there are some guys who don't, and that hurts too. You got to have a certain amount of intelligence to be able to handle it all. But there's just a special quality that some of these guys have that they just feel it. They can feel people around them. They can feel holes in the defense, and they let it rip without any hesitation, and they're not guessing. And those are the guys I tend to look for. You know, and those guys also will let it rip and make a lot of mistakes too. But usually the guys who can see it and aren't guessers, they learn from those mistakes. And you got to go through some games where they have a bunch of picks and things like that. But If they're not guessing and they're playing the real way, which is stuff you try to look for on tape, then, you know, as long as you give them the time, you give them the reps, you put the right people around them, that they'll learn from their mistakes and they'll end up getting more consistent.
Kyle, you coached against the Eagles defense around this time last year. How are they year two compared to the first year in the scheme?
I think they're very similar. I thought they were one of the best defenses we went against last year. I see the same type of thing on tape this year. They're a handful, and, you know, that's every Jim Schwartz defense I've gone against has been the same. You know, so the scheme's always similar. The players always play the same way. He's as good of a coordinator as there is in this league, and he's got some good players to go with them. So they're a handful.
Jim doesn't blitz a lot, but he's been more effective with it this year. What do you see when you look at their blitz this season?
Yeah, I think he puts it in a little bit more than usual. You know, he still has his times, though. It depends on what game it is and what he thinks gives his team the best chance. You know, Jim's a very smart guy who's going to study your scheme and figure out ways to put us in a bind, just like we're going to try to do to him. Whatever you see on tape, you can prepare for it, but he might adjust and it might be different, and you usually find that out in the first half. So he always has a certain style he plays to. You have understand the fronts and some of the coverages, but he's going to always have some things he tweaks each week and week out to where you got to be able to adjust. And when you do, you know, he's going to have an adjustment after that. And that's why he's a guy I have a lot of respect for. I played against him a ton. You know, my first time as a coordinator when I was 28 was in Houston, and that's when he was at Tennessee. I played him a number of times when he was in Detroit. I played him when he was at Buffalo. This will be my second time playing him when he's in Philly. So it's a lot of history versus Jim, and got a lot of respect for him.
With a rookie quarterback this season, Kyle, do you expect teams to blitz CJ a lot?
You never know. I mean, some people look at it as, hey, it's a rookie quarterback, blitz the heck out of him and see if he'll panic. Some people look at it as, hey, let's play real conservative and soft. He's a rookie quarterback. He'll eventually mess it up, and let's just let him do it instead of giving some cheap freebies. So you got to be ready for both. You never know how they view it. It can go either way, and that's why you try to take a plan in to be ready for anything on offense. And as the game goes, you kind of get a feel for what their plan is, and if it's working, you know they're going to stick with it until you can adjust and make them pay.
You guys have done it some with Eric Reed, whereas you drop him down in the box and he kind of plays that linebacker position. With Jordan Hicks being out, that's something obviously the Eagles would do with Malcolm Jenkins. As a play caller, how does that affect some of the plays you call? Like, does that make you want to run the ball a little bit more?
It depends on the guy, you know, and it depends how they play. It's, linebacker and strong safety. I mean, when you're playing in the 8-man front, sometimes it's just where you're coming from, but sometimes the gaps don't change. That's why they can be somewhat interchangeable. But now it is different for those guys. They're up closer to the line, and they don't get alignment on them as much. But you got to look at the player. There's a lot of guys I've played over these years that are lighter guys. And, you know, they moved Mark Barron from safety to linebacker a while ago. And, you know, you want to go at him, but he's pretty good at setting the edge, and he's hard to block because he's faster. You know, you got guys like Telvin Smith and Jacksonville, who's listed as a linebacker, but he weighs 210 pounds, which is exactly how Eric Reed is. So it all depends on the type of player they are and how they play. Some small guys do still have the power to set an edge with a guard or a tackle, and some smaller guys can dip and get around those guys and make a miss and embarrass you also. And some of those guys are a liability in the run, but better in the pass. So there's no exact answer to it, but that's why you got to look at every single guy and try to understand how they play and how to attack them.